Participate in that. So if you have any grandkids or kids that you would like to bring, be sure and invite them to come out as well for that. In your bulletins, you see an announcement for the 11th Annual Native American Gathering up at the Life Enrichment Center in Leesburg. And I'm going to go this year because my heart's telling me that I would like to be a little more involved in Native American ministry in our own area. Believe it or not, there's a lot of Native Americans in this area and around Florida. But I'm going to be going up. If anyone has any interest in that, call the church office or myself. The deadline for registration, I believe, is the end of the month. So we need to do that as well. I have a few registration forms with me here this morning, so you can see me after church. I'd be glad to pass those along to you as well. Accommodations are at the Life Enrichment Center. So look that over if you're interested. Get back to me as well. This Thursday evening, we're having a Holy Thursday service. I hope you all can come out for that, a communion service as well. And then on Friday at noon, we're going to have a Stations of the Cross. If you've been with us before, we're going to walk the property. If you're not able to walk, you can stay in here. All the readings will be done in here as well. I still need some readers for that. If you can make it and would like to be participating in that, there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex there on the little podium. Put your name on that as well. I need 14 readers. So if you would like to be a part of that, I would encourage you to put your name on the sign-up sheet back there as well. Tonight is our Easter Cantata at 7 p.m. Rehearsal was awesome. I'm telling you what, it's going to be a very, very moving experience for us tonight as we prepare now for Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That's why you all have palms today. But tonight's program is going to be magnificent. So I hope you can come out at 7 o'clock. Bring a neighbor, bring a friend, bring someone you have to accost on the street if necessary, or bring someone with you. It's condoned at this portion of the year to give people into the church. So, but we hope that you can come and be a part of that tonight as well. That's it for the announcements. Would you please stand for our affirmation of faith this morning? From 887, and we'll be together. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us.
We are
sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor might, nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thanks.
to wave our palm branches in joyous greeting, and to shout out our blessings and thanks as he rides triumphantly through the streets. You invite us to join him at supper as he breaks bread and calls it his body, and as he pours wine and calls it his blood. As we wait with the disciples for a new dawn, give us the strength to walk with Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Amen.
And from Matthew 21:9, it says, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. And Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Sing?
How? Okay, you tell me. so quick have an answer. Did Jesus say that even stones could talk and sing? You remember that in the Bible? No? Well, Jesus himself, as he was coming in, why do we have these palm things today? What does that mean? No one brought their palms with them? Okay. Why do we do that today? You know? Because Jesus came into Jerusalem and all the people thought he was their new king. So they're waving their palm branches, they're welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem. And Jesus told the people that if they were quiet, that even the stones would speak. Do you believe that? Tell me what you hear. Tell me what you hear. What do you hear? I heard something. Hello? Hello? Well, Jesus wouldn't lie, would he? But he said that the people kept their mouths shut, that these stones would even cry out, Hosanna. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? The first, could we call that a rock concert? If those stones were to sing? Do you hear like this? Yes, this is where you do. So Jesus told me that even the stones would talk. It would be so glorious when he came into town. So that's what we need to remember today is what? Today was a big day in the life of Jesus, right? Because what happens towards the end of the week? Do you remember that story? Part of the story? All of a sudden, the people weren't being so nice to him, were they? And they were being rather mean to him, and they even had him arrested. Because he wasn't turning out to be the king they thought he was going to be. So we're preparing this week, Holy Week. Hopefully you guys can come back to church this week. We've got services this week. And you will learn more and more about what this week was like in the life of Jesus, okay? Alright? So listen for stones to speak to you. And if you walk around and say, hello, 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 I might have to come and visit you somewhere. Will you all come and visit me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. As we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And Father, we know the rest of the story. Things were not looking so good towards the end of the week. But Father, we pray that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that when our mouths seem taped shut, that you would allow the stones to speak and to encourage us. So, Father, thank you. We love you. Bless these young children and these young people. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go with Sister Monica this morning. Thank you, Monica. You guys are staying in church. We go before the Lord in prayer. Who needs some prayers this morning? All hands should go up. Even if you're just praying for things to continue to go well in your life. We need to thank God for that and to continue that prayer as well. There are folks in our congregation today that we're going to lift up by name that have had some injuries and falls this week as well. And just the general plague that we talked about last week, I think some folks are getting better with that. But there seems to be a bronchial infection out there that we need to continue to pray for folks. We've got these prayer requests this morning as well. Dorothy Leone, I found out this morning that Miss Dorothy had a fall this past week and has fractured her pelvis. She's in JFK. So I'm going over there today to pay her a visit as well and check on her. But keep Dorothy in your prayers as well. All the children that are at the dance marathon at the University of Florida, raising money for that, Children's Miracle Families at the University of Florida, we pray for that this morning. Dwayne Kelly as well is at ICU, is gravely ill. He's a cousin of Teresa Wilhelm. We lift Dwayne Kelly up in our prayers. Bob Heck, Gerald Coker, Lisa Parkinson, Tom Rowenbeck, and a family friend offered health issues or suffering, the Harden family. Asking to lift those folks up this morning. Travel Mercy, some of our folks are leaving to go back home. Tammy Brown, Penny Prisonberry, and the daughters of, well, these are daughters of Sharon Holmes and Sharon and Chuck. Their daughters are heading back home. Andy has it praised. He's got his car. It will be fixed and operating today, so we praise God for that today as well, Andy. I know there's many things on our hearts this morning. Now is the time to take them before the Lord. So would you pray with me this morning? Gracious God, what an awesome God you are. Father, today as we celebrate Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, Father, with the waving of palm branches and the shouts of Hosanna and glory to God, Father, what a tragic turn this story takes as we move through the week. And Father, today we're celebrating our King. We're celebrating our Savior. We're celebrating one who willingly gave himself for us. Father, today we're lifting up those mentioned here by name, where sickness, illness, and disease has ravaged bodies. Father, we're praying for healing. We're praying for your divine guidance in these lives. We're praying that spirits as well as bodies would be healed. We're praying that spirits would be renewed and rejuvenated and be brought back to life where there seems only death. Father, today we pray for our church, our world, the world outside these doors, our own community. Father, we pray that where our world is fallen, people would seek your face. We pray that where our world has crumbled around us, where relationships have failed, where finances have been ruined, where homes have been destroyed, where lives have been shattered, your Holy Spirit will fill those places with love. Father, today we pray because we trust, because we believe, because we have faith. Father, today we pray because you are our only hope. Father, today we pray because we love you and we know that you love us. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. As we move into this final week, and we push forward, push on to the winning goal of Easter morning, when a risen Christ would prove to the world that he was more than just a man, that finally folks would believe, finally hearts would be changed. Father, I pray that change on us today. Father, I pray that you would guide us, lead us, give us hope and joy in even the darkest of days. Father, I would pray that we would strongly be your people. That we would cry out, even as the stones could cry out. Father, we cry out to you. Father, thank you for this gift. Thank you for the glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus taught us to pray. Let's now pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you.
spoke to my heart for getting us prepared for the offering. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. And that was Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. Standing at the foot of the cross, we offer you our love and our lives. Let us now give from our treasure to the one true God who redeems us. With the ushers, please come forward to receive our gifts.
Jesus, come to wipe our tears of grace.
Father, grow and multiply it in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture today for our message is coming from Philippians. Paul is encouraging the church to accept God's will for their lives. How do you feel about that this morning? Does God's will always match your will? What's wrong with God? Why can't He match our plans a little better? Well, sometimes we are, aren't we? Hear these words this morning from Philippians 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. Your bulletin says 5, but I read this. I said we can't really jump to 5. Let's start in 1 through 11. Hear these words. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's word this morning. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider himself being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these words this morning, as hard as they are to take in. Father, please encourage us to take on the will of Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That has often been said, one of the most beautiful and important scriptures of the New Testament. Scholars have thought that maybe it was a hymn sung by the early Christians at Philippi. Maybe that was their way of saying we should be more like Christ. It encourages us to live and die in Christ. This is a tough message, folks. I'm not going to beat around the bush this morning. Paul is telling us here that our egos have got to go by the wayside. Who in here has an ego bigger than themselves? Bigger than Texas? Who here's from Texas? Anyone from Texas? All right, we're going to bash Texas this morning. I never thought of myself as having much of an ego, but you know what? I was wrong. I don't know if any of you feel the same way. I like to be right. I like to tell others what to do. And I like to tell others when they're not doing it right.
Oh, Lord.
None of you are like that, of course. I stand here before you as a solitary individual. Having no connection with you fine folks here at Lakeside United Methodist Church, because I am a sinner. And none of you folks are sinners, are you?
No.
Folks, our selfish ambition can get us in trouble. Our egos that are bigger than life. Now this whole Jesus thing, Jesus came and served in humility. How many of you have humility and humbleness as one of your greatest virtues? Now I do know a few of you by this time, and you're with me in this for failing. Sometimes our humility and humbleness cannot be found because of our outfrontedness. Because we want to say, boy, I'm handling this situation pretty well. Look at me. I'm doing great. You've heard me say it before. God, my life stinks. What are you doing? When things aren't going well, God has a big part to play in that, correct? But when things are going well, we're doing quite well for ourselves. When we have selfish ambition, which is about us, it's when we're self-centered. Self-centeredness can be fun. But that self-centeredness hurts those around us the most. And it hurts ourselves. That's what Philippians is talking about. Paul is addressing a problem of selfish ambition. Later on in this in these chapters, Paul talks about two ladies in the church that had egos bigger than life. And they were squabbling among each other. Now we never do that here, right? We have no squabbles here. do we? Because we're serving with a Christ-like attitude. These passages in Philippians, Paul is addressing this whole selfish ambition. It's costly. It hinders the fellowship of the church. That's what Paul was struggling with here. You folks are so selfish, you're hurting the church. That could sting a little. That Jesus came, he took the form of a servant. Jesus left all the glory to the heavens, to God. Jesus came and served in humility. For goodness sake, he washed the disciples' feet. He served at every turn. John 13 tells us, what did Peter say when Jesus was going to wash their feet? You'll have none of this. We had a little discussion in our Wednesday night Bible study about foot washing. And we all said, I'm not very comfortable with that. Remember that? Jesus told Peter, you'll have no part with me if you do not allow me to serve you. Now this Palm Sunday is Jesus' representation. He's coming into Jerusalem as the King of Kings, right? The people expected him to go, throw out those evil rulers, and he was to take his kingship on the throne of Israel. And meanwhile, his buddies were sitting around the table arguing about who would sit at his right, who would sit at his left, who's the greatest of them all. The disciples had it all wrong. Pastor David, Lakeside UMC, is the greatest of them all. If anyone deserves a spot beside Jesus, it should be me. You think I'm a nice person, right? Well, in my mind, I think it should be me. Are we any different than those that my wife says, knuckleheads? No, that's my word. Are we all knuckleheads as well? Do we all have a Christ-like attitude in our lives? Can we argue that Jesus never humbled himself, or he didn't do it very often anyway? That's what Philippians is doing, telling us about Jesus' humility and his practice of it. He preached it. And we are to learn from his example. Don't you hate it when Jesus does that? Jesus was without sin. He was perfect. How can we even think we can do the same? I don't have a clue, folks. You think I got some brilliant answer for you? I don't. It struggles. It's a struggle for us. But what did Jesus bring in that humble service? What did Jesus bring to the table? What's the only thing he brought to us? Love? Do you get tired of me telling you about Jesus' love for you? I took a little half day away on Thursday morning. I went up and met some friends at the Loxahatchee River up in Jupiter, and we took our kayaks and we kayaked down the river for a couple of hours. And, you know, it's easy when you're paddling with the current. You slip right along in a kayak, I found. It's easy sailing. Then you get down there where you turn around. Now we got to go back up the river. I didn't realize there could be so much current in a river in Florida, but there was some current. We had a great time. Awesome time. God was nourishing me where I needed to be nourished. He was showing me the love of outdoors. I love the outdoors. I love kayaking. So we came back. We loaded up. We all went our separate ways. I'm coming back to clean up. And I said, well, let me swing into Cracker Barrel and have lunch. So I go into the place to pack. I get in my seat. I'm sitting there, I order, of course I know the waitress is in there, so they're all wanting to be chatty. And as I'm sitting there, I was overcome by this love of Christ. I don't know what it was. I've told a couple of you about it today. I think I mentioned it in the Bible study. No, that was actually Wednesday, so no, but I've talked about it. I felt God's love just pouring over me. I used to never cry, but now I can make a tear once in a while. I'm sitting in Cracker Barrel, trying to compose myself. The people around me, the waitress that are coming by, like, okay, something's wrong there. Let's move on. We won't speak to him because apparently he's getting ready to blubber. I don't know. But the love of Christ just came into my heart sitting in Cracker Barrel. I didn't know Jesus loved Cracker Barrel. I didn't know it. See, honey, even Jesus loves Cracker Barrel. She doesn't like Cracker Barrel that much, but if we go to Cracker Barrel more, I guarantee you we'll have more Jesus experiences. But I don't know why, sitting there in Cracker Barrel, God's love came over me, and I was overwhelmed by His love. And I just wanted to cry. Then I've spoken with some folks about it. We don't get that enough, do we? Do we not open our hearts enough to this unconditional, this great love that Jesus pours out upon us? Do we allow ourselves to accept this love? Or do we say, it might be too many strings attached? Do we accept God's will for our lives? Now, Thursday was a work day for me, but I went kayaking, and I didn't even tell the church. I said, I go kayaking and be back and come in about noon, and Carolyn will think I just was working it all day. I had to run home and get the kayak off the top of my car so she wouldn't see that. I love God, and I think God loves me. Do you know God loves you? That's what this week is all about, folks. Today we're waving our palm branches. Tonight we're going to have a beautiful cantata. We're going to sing our praises. Amazing grace. God's amazing grace in our lives. No greater love. Jesus humbled himself to the point of death on the cross. That doesn't make sense to me. I love you people, but if someone comes in here, I'm running out the door. You're on your own. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. But doesn't our selfish ambition sometimes lead us to that? It's about me. I need to be better. I want to be better. I want to be the head of the class. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Now, if Jesus would have given that little nugget to his disciples, do you think they would have been fighting over that seat next to him? I'm sure they had heard that. But they hadn't heard it yet. The rock hadn't spoke to them yet. You imagine these disciples running around, hello, yes, the first cell phone. Folks, God loves us. This week He's proving it to us. Jesus willingly went to the cross for us. And Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine. And you know what He wants you to do? Is sit in Cracker Barrel and start blubbering like an idiot. Happy to look at you funny because God loves you so much that He's willing to make you a little bit uncomfortable with that love. I go back to Cracker Barrel next time. I got to tell the waitresses I had a little sinus infection that day and my eyes were watering. I had some problems. But you know what? That's not true. Because you know what I do when I go to Cracker Barrel? I ask the waitresses if I can pray for them. And you know, I have little ministries around town now. One Diner, Cracker Barrel, different. These are all eating places, of course. I'm the only around Lake Worth here, and the pastor that cooks hot dogs. Do you see a theme here? I look at my wife, because I can feel eyes in the back of my neck. Really, you're out here. I don't know about you guys. There's a divine mystery in Christ that God wants us to seek out, to search out. He loves you. He wants me to love you. Sometimes that's hard. No, it's not. You know what? The deeper your faith grows and the closer you come to God, you learn to accept people for who they are. You love to learn people like Christ learned, like Christ loved them. We had that David, doggone it. You're weaving into my message here this morning. I see you're deep in thought because David and I had a special time here talking this morning. And our expectations of people. Sometimes, folks, you don't live up to my expectations. I don't live up to my own expectations. As a leader of any organization or group or business or anything that we do, if our employees or the people we're working with don't live up to our expectations, what happens? It's a struggle, isn't it? Do you think God's sitting up there saying, boy, these folks really are meeting my every expectation? God has got to be having a hard time with us. Or does God know us so well that He was willing to send Jesus down here to say, go down, show them what I expect of them? Isn't it easier to do a job if we know what's expected of us? If we don't know what's expected of us, how do we know what to do? When have we succeeded? When have we reached maturity? We don't know. You know where we learn expectations? Philippians. This book. Folks, we're never going to live up to probably our own expectations. Those around us we love and care the most about are never going to live up to our expectations. We're never going to live up to the expectations of God. But you know what? Jesus came so we didn't have to. Now that doesn't mean we don't have to try. That just means that we're fallen. We're sinners. We don't always get it right. But you know what? In God's eyes, we're pretty perfect. So that's the message today. Jesus emptied Himself. He humbled Himself. He was born human. Jesus kind of got a raw deal, didn't He? He wasn't the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He was there. Do any of you want to go there and be with Him? It's a yes. It's us saying yes. You know, Jesus shed blood for us. And martyrs throughout our Christian history have shed blood in the name of Christ. I want to end with the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You know him? He was a Christian leader during his day. He was in the concentration camp at Flossenbürg. Shortly before it was liberated, he was executed. Hendrik Himmler gave the command to have him executed. He was a well-known theologian. But his death confirmed for us that blood must be shed. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, starting with Jesus Christ. Bonhoeffer's teachings and writings today are still influential in our church. For him, Christianity always must be a responsible, obedient action. A sacrifice involving the discipleship of Christ in every situation of everyday life. Now, do we put God first in every instance of our lives, every day? That's what Bonhoeffer taught. 6 years before his imprisonment by the Gestapo, he had written, when Christ calls a person, He bids them to come and die. Boy, that's a happy reading, isn't it? Are we willing to give ourselves for Christ? Now, that doesn't always mean shedding our blood for Christ and our lives ending. It means are we willing to give ourselves to Christ and what we do all our life. That's what Paul's talking about here today. He's talking about accepting God's will for our lives And in all that we do, accept God's grace. The only way we're going to make it is through God's grace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this Holy Week, I want us to be ever mindful and grateful for what Christ has done for us. Christ came and gave himself. This was the week that we celebrate what he gave for us. Today is actually one of those happy days. It gets darker as we get towards the end of the week. We're going to have a Holy Thursday service here. We'll have readings. We're going to relive those last moments that night. We're going to have communion together. We're going to experience Jesus' presence with us. On Friday, we're going to take that awful walk that Jesus took. We're going to remember what he did for us. On Sunday morning, we're going to run to the tomb. There again, John explained that the one Jesus loved the most, he was still competing, wasn't he? Running with Peter to the tomb. Are we going to run to the tomb on Sunday morning? We better. Because you know what? There's nothing to be found there.
Amen.
We're going to run there to find nothing in the tomb. I'm happy about that. Are you? I am happy about that. Because that means Jesus defeated death. They say we can defeat death. I've buried a lot of fine folks from this church, and when I pray for them, I pray that they now know that they have defeated death. Folks, in the end, we win. Hope that makes you happy. We're on the winning team, folks. Sometimes life seems tough, rough, tough, but we're on the winning team. Let's draw closer to the kingdom of God this week. Let's serve in humility, obedience, and sacrifice. Three key words here. Humility, obedience, and sacrifice. It's not as bad as it sounds, folks. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's free. It's free. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these words from Paul this morning. Not only was it to the church in Philippi, it was to the church in Lake Worth. These words were spoken specifically for Lakeside United Methodist Church. Father, we're grateful that these words have been captured so that generation upon generation can live out the humility, the obedience, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn. Precious Lord, take my hand. Folks, Jesus loves you. Today we wave our branches, glorify our King. Receive this benediction. Father God, as we leave this place, let us proclaim to the world through our humility, through our obedience, and through our sacrifice that Jesus Christ is our King. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sermon was wonderful.